really quick, if you have a Bible, or if you don't have a Bible, they're in the back of the room on either side of the booth. Go ahead and grab one of those. We're going to kind of bounce around tonight to a couple different spots. I'm going to be quick tonight. We are going to do tonight what we did last week, where we're going to look a little bit from God's Word about redeeming dating. Again, we're talking about just the different questions that y'all may have about that difficult subject of dating. And we're trying to look at all these questions and answer all these questions with what does the Bible say? But I want y'all to hear my heart behind this, and I know also the leaders as well. The reason we're going through this with y'all is not so that you could just be good kids, you know? Like, our goal for you is not that you would just be really good kids. Our goal for you is to follow Christ. Like, our heart for you is that you would know the gospel, that you would know the good news about what Jesus has done for sinful people. That Jesus has made a way for us sinners, people who have gone against God's word, against his law, the good news that Jesus, he fulfilled the law perfectly in our place, and that he took the punishment for sin, which we deserved, which according to Romans, the wages of sin is what? Death. Jesus took that punishment on himself on the cross in our place. He suffered, the Bible says, under God's wrath in our place. And Jesus, he died and he rose again the third day so that anyone who would repent of their sins, that is to turn away from our sins and to trust in him, that we would have eternal life. And I share that with you to say everything that we're going to talk about tonight, that we go into our workshops to talk about answering questions, all of that, y'all, is so just meaningless if you don't have a relationship with Christ. That's why we're here, is that you would know Christ and follow him. Amen, brother. So, one of the things, though, as followers of Christ, though, that we have to talk about are difficult things, true? Like, we have to talk about these difficult things. Like, when I was in high school, this is a subject that I just didn't know how to navigate. I thought I knew. I thought I was really a really smart 10th grader, you know. I thought I was a smart when I was a junior. Like, I really know how to, I really know what I'm doing. I got it all together. Like, I'm ready to approach this. And really, I didn't. I was mixed up, and it got me into a lot of traps, into a lot of snares of the enemy. And man, it was hurtful. And I shared a little bit about that with y'all last week. But tonight, y'all, tonight we're going to go further into this subject. If you were here last week, we talked about three main things. One, we talked about what should be the purpose of dating. Like, if dating is done right, what should be the purpose in it? And we talked about, if you remember, we talked about dating should be purposed in finding a spouse. Like, dating someone is not just like, oh, I really like this person and she really likes me and let's go have fun. No, it's more so like, I'm a young man who wants to be married, and I want to find a godly woman to marry. Hey, this is someone who I may be interested in finding that out. So it's time spent seeing if this is someone that you're interested in marrying. So that's the first thing. We said what should be the purpose of dating is finding a spouse. The second thing we talked about was who should we date? Like, when that time comes in your life, who is the person we should date? We looked at Corinthians, right, where it says, do not be unequally yoked. And what we talked about from that is that God's word tells us that the most intimate, the most serious, the deep relationships in our lives, again, as Christ followers, the deep relationships in our lives should be with those who are also following Christ. You see in that passage in Corinthians, he's literally saying, he says, what does light have in common with darkness? Like, what does it have in common? He's saying, don't be unequally yoked. Don't be connected in a deep way with those who aren't in Christ. And so when we look at that, we're seeing that and saying, hey, that verse isn't specifically talking about dating, but it applies to all of these deep relationships that we may experience. It would apply to those who you would consider your best friends. You know, our best friends, those that we're closest with, should be those that we have in common, Jesus. We have Jesus in common with them, right? And so it does apply to who we look for in a spouse, absolutely. And we talked about, at least in the guys group, we were talking about, hey, don't, I, like when you're looking for a lady, guys and ladies, when you're looking for a man to marry, don't just take his word like I'm a Christian. I told the guys, I said, guys, talk is cheap, right? Talk is cheap. Don't look for someone who just professes with their mouth they're a Christian. Look for someone who loves other believers. Look for someone who loves to be in God's word. Look for somebody who honors their parents well. Look for somebody who bears the fruit of salvation. Does that make sense? That's one of the things we talked about as well. So we said that when it's time to look for a spouse, we should look for someone who bears the fruit of a Christian. Like you can see it in their lifestyle, their kindness to others, their love, their commitment to live life, not according to their own way, but according to God's way. Looking for those characteristics. And then the last thing we looked at was when should we date? When we should date. And if you remember, we did not say there's a certain age. Like once you hit 16 or once you hit 21 or once you hit 45, you know. I can't imagine my daughter in this process and marrying somebody down the road. But I always said when she's 30, I'll let her go out of the house one day. But when we should date, we looked at Genesis. We looked at Genesis 2:24, and that's the verse where you see that a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And so the two things that we can take away from that verse, again, not a verse talking about dating, right? Dating isn't in Scripture, but a verse that definitely, absolutely can guide us in how to navigate what we today call dating. And so the two things we took away from that verse are, one, we should look for a spouse when we're about ready to be married, right? If someone's not anywhere near ready to be marrying, I'm not going to let my daughter go on dates with this student, right? If he's not even anywhere ready, so what's your purpose? If you're nowhere near ready for dating, you know, what's your purpose? You're just trying to have fun? Like, well, that's what's that going to lead to and all these things? So it's someone who's nearly ready, but then it's also somebody who has entered into manhood or womanhood. The Bible says a man leaves father and mother. Notice it doesn't say a boy. It doesn't say an adolescent. It says a man leaves father and mother. And so that was the other thing that we were looking at. And so tonight, y'all, I'm going to share with y'all just what we're going to talk about in our workshops. I'm not going to dive into these things here. We're going to actually head upstairs in just a second. But when the time does come for dating, when the time does come to do this in a healthy way in your life, whenever that day comes, what should be the boundaries that you live out in that time? What should be those boundaries? Have you thought about that? What should be those boundaries? The second thing is, and this is a question that I've heard from y'all many times, is like, how far is too far in those relationships? Like, at what point do you cross the line into sin? You know, how far is too far? So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And then the last thing that we're going to look at is, what does it look like to honor Jesus and be content in him while you're single? Meaning while you're not married. What does it look like to be content in him? I want to read to us one verse, and then we're going to head upstairs. It's Matthew 18:7-9. Matthew 18:7-9. And what you're going to see in this verse is the seriousness of sin. Because as we talk about these boundaries, and as we talk about fleeing youthful sins and fleeing sexual immorality and those things that the Bible tells us to do, none of that makes sense unless we really do understand the seriousness of sin. This is a verse, it's not going to be up on the screen. It's Matthew 18:7-9. This is Jesus speaking, and I want y'all to see what Jesus says about this, about sin in general. He says, "Woe to the world for temptations to sin, for it is necessary that temptations come, but woe to the one by whom the temptation comes." And just pause right there, y'all. Woe means cursed. That word woe means cursed. Woe to the world for temptations to come. Cursed is the world for temptations to come. Verse 8, "And if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life, that is eternal life, crippled or lame, than with two hands or two feet to be thrown into the eternal fire." And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into the hell of fire. So that's a serious passage, but I want y'all to feel the seriousness of that. Because sin is serious. Sin isn't a small thing. It's huge. It's a serious thing. And so as we talk about this, as we bring our questions, I encourage y'all, bring your questions to your leaders. As we talk about this tonight, have that in mind. Have two things in mind. One, the goodness of God. Like the amazingness, if that's a word, of the gospel, of what God has done for us in his love, in his mercy, and in his grace for us. But also keep this in mind, that sin is serious. A lot of times we fall into this category of God is love, so nothing else matters. No, God is love, and he's holy. He is good, and he's just. Sin is a huge deal for us. So as we go up to our groups, keep that in mind. Let me pray for us, y'all. If you could, when I'm done praying, go ahead and put your chairs up, and then we'll head up. Same spots as last week. Guys are going to be on this side of the hallway. Girls are going to be on that side of the hallway. Cool? All right, let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you, Lord. We ask you to bless our time tonight. Make it fruitful in our lives for your glory and for our good. In Jesus' name, amen.